Welcome to Chai with Sam Dosa. I'm your host, and I have been privileged to get so many amazing people on my podcast as guests. They are from diverse communities, countries, you name it. My podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, and all other major platforms. Please join us and listen to some amazing talks which has been shared by my guest, and do find something interesting. Do let us know what your thoughts are and how we can improve it. Today is another exceptional guest I have. His name is Kevin Harvey. He is a speaker, experience of 20 years, two decades in presenting motivation speeches at corporate and public events. He also had his own journey, which we will discuss further in our podcast. He's a qualified hypnotherapist and master NLP practitioner coach. Now, he's got a system. You should be able to hear it more. It's 2-4-6-8 Motivate system, which we will go further into the detail. But I don't want to just talk about a snippet. I just let the expert share with us about his journey. So welcome, Kevin, to my podcast, Chai with Sam Dosa.
Good morning, Sam. Good morning. Thank you for inviting me along. I'm really excited about talking to everybody today.
Fantastic. Okay, let's dive in. I just given them a snippet of your journey because I just want to hear from yourself as who Kevin Harvey is and what's his purpose in this transient world.
Okay, right. Well, where do I start? I suppose when you get to my age, I always like to put things in terms of like football matches. And I suppose at the moment I'm 58 years of age. So I'm getting towards that last sort of quarter, as it were, of the football match. But the good thing about that is I like to use when I'm speaking as an analogy that more goals and more wins happen in that last quarter of a football match. If you look at the stats or any sport, that's when people raise the game and that's when you get better out of things. And you start to think, what could I have done earlier? You know, well, my motto is it doesn't matter how old you are, it's never too late to change. Where you are today is not where you need to be tomorrow. Well, that's sort of how I've changed my journey. I've been speaking not as necessarily through a lot in business, but more sort of corporate, charity works, comparing, lots of types of speaking. But it was a bit of a journey that it changed for me probably about 3 or 4 years ago. And I know a lot of people say, oh, here we go, here's another backstory. Everybody's got a backstory. So I won't dwell on it too much, but the five most stressful things that can happen to you, as written by the Psychology Council, all happened to me in a three-month period. So I sort of decided that there was no point going on, and I've got no brothers, no sisters. Both my parents are now gone. I've got no children of my own. So all of a sudden, it was like, what's the point? So, yeah, I looked at different things to do to change that. One of which obviously was the ultimate, which was ending it. And I came very, very close, but I walked away because I realized as I was sat looking around this lake at the hills, decided whether to walk in or not. That's when I had the light bulb, when I realized that the cavalry weren't coming over them hills. The only person that was going to change anything in their life was me, you know? So I drove back home, locked myself away in bed for about 4 days. And thought I need to deal with this. And that's when, having done NLP and hypnotherapy in the past, mainly as a hobby and helping other people, not really as a business, I decided that I need to sort of go back to it, retrace my steps and use these things to help me. So I dug all my old books out and started to read them. And that's when I realized that I needed to come up with my own system, which was 2-4-6-8 Motivate, which is just really about small steps, taking small steps, the 1% improvement every day, I use it for memory technique. So I'm getting a bit older now. I can't always remember what I'm going to say next. So I use it as my memory system. I use it as my goals. I use it as my affirmations. I use it in just about everything I did and slowly turn my life around to be the person I am today. We're always learning. I suppose one of the first things I had to do was, I often call it the three A's. I had to sort of admit who I am. I had to accept what had gone on in the past, whether it be bad relationships. And whilst, you know, we always feel victim, all the things that happened to me, whilst not necessarily my fault, I had some redundancy at one stage, my parents obviously passing away, but it wasn't my fault. The one thing I sort of had to admit was that I was there at the scene of the crime for every single one of them things that happened, whether they're good or bad. And it was once I'd sort of got that, and so that was accepting, sort of admitting where I'd made mistakes, learning, you know, failure is feedback. That's all it is. If you fail at something, just use it as positive feedback. And the third A is appreciate, and learning to appreciate others and appreciate yourself. You know, we don't often give ourselves a pat on the back, and looking in that mirror every morning was just negative, negative, negative. And you've got to change it to positives, positives. And that's basically the abridged version of the journey. So as I say, having a backstory is a difficult one. I've heard speakers that they go on for 25 minutes about what's happened to them. And I suppose we wouldn't have the Rocky films if we didn't have a backstory. We wouldn't have Spider-Man or Batman or any of these stories that we all love to watch. If it was a boring life that had up to the point of being a superhero, there would have been no point watching the film. So it has a little bit of relevance, and it's got me to where I am today. And now helping other people through coaching and speaking is where I begin to appreciate myself, what I can do. You know, you sort of become your own superhero. Yes. And just totally changed my life around.
I think there are a lot of things which you have mentioned in your journey resonate with not only few million everybody, I would say, because we all go through with our own journeys. And as you said, bad and good things happen. I think we started to learn because the maturity level, the frequency level, which frequency you are in and where you are standing in your life, you started to understand. Problems happen. How you deal with it is how you are inside yourself, because we all have the capacity to deal with any sort of situation. I've gone through with my situation in my journey. When my first daughter was born, my dad passed away. He was looking forward to seeing my daughter. But I was in London and he was in Pakistan. So we were not matched to see each other. But luckily, my daughter was born and I went to for his last thing when he was already on his deathbed, and I was looking forward to seeing him because I haven't seen him for the last 4 years since I came to this country. But I can't take my daughter with me because she was just born. And, you know, I was so happy to see my father, but I was also very sad that my daughter is not going to see the grandfather. And even my other two children didn't see the grandfather. And they did not see the grandmother as well. So it's everybody is looking at things, whatever happens, whether you are going through with a loss of job, loss of you're going through a divorce, you are going through a heartache. These are all journeys, but because we are not mature enough to acknowledge them, at that time it becomes like a heavy burden on our shoulders. And this is, and then we ask this question to God, why me? Why me? And that's the key question. Once you get to that maturity level where you started to look at things and say, why not me? Give it to me. I'm ready to receive it. Give it to me. I'm ready to take on those people who are suffering right now. Let me take it, and I will be saying thank you for giving me this opportunity to see this as a blessing, not a curse. Because with COVID-19, everybody's looking at it as a curse. Some people are looking at it as a place of reflection, giving you this opportunity. You have been put on furlough for a reason, that you have been given this opportunity to reflect upon whether, is this the right job for you? Is this the right profession for you? Is this the right career for you? Or you want to do something very passionate, which you have in yourself. because you have so much fear of losing your sanity that, oh, no, 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 I always worked and I'm always going to work in this place. I'm not going to change it. And your way of looking at life, which you've gone through within in certain ways, has shown, as you already talk about it in a very casual manner that people can understand, is not about, oh yeah, you see, I went through this and I have succeeded. We all go through a lot of things, but how you change the mindset of people, that makes a difference. And this analogy of AAA, which you mentioned, let's a little bit elaborate that for us, please.
Okay. Well, we start off with admit, okay? Admitting it to who you are, it's finding your why. I think we hear people talk about finding your why, and finding your why is actually to admit who you are and where you've been, you know. And that's one of the things that I found quite difficult to do. I'd also always had so much confidence, and then all of a sudden I found that I didn't have any confidence, I didn't have any self-esteem. So I started to write down the things I was good at. You know, I started to change this negatives into positives. You know, you talk about the COVID at the moment. And one of the things that I often talk about with people is how we change words. You know, we don't say can't, we say can. And the thing with COVID is it's not what you can't do. You've got to look at what you can do at the moment. Sure. You know, so there's so many hobbies, so many things people have got involved with. And you know, you've got to get that muscle memory going again. You've got to get things doing. Just find out what your who, why, and where, who you are, what you want to do. Admit that you've made mistakes. You know, that is the first process of the AAA, 3As of what we sort of do. Accepting, just accept what has gone. You know, use that failure as feedback, as I said earlier. Accepting. Admitting are the two crucial things. And once you've found that, and I can go a lot into so much more detail, and I'm obviously coaching people, but that would be about the individual. You know, that's how I would get them to admit to themselves and to accept what's gone on. That is the key. That's the process of a good coach. A good coach is obviously be able to, I love talking, as you could probably tell, but you know, I always remember I've got two ears and only one mouth. So you've got to do the listening, but you've got to ask the right questions. You've got to ask what would happen if you did do this, what would happen if you don't do this. You've got to ask the right questions. Get people to accept and admit. And I challenge anybody that's listening, write that down, yeah? Write the things down yourself, because when you start to write things down, yeah, it does help the process.
I think so. That's absolutely right. You know, I was so keen on achieving goals in my early stages of life. So I was listening to Brian Tracy, I was listening to Tony Robbins, I was listening to Dr. Zimmerman, I was listening to a couple of great minds at that time. And I started my journey as well. You know, I was on my go to long journeys. I always have a CD attached to it. I was listening to this motivational speaking in the morning, going to work, have something going into my mind, and started writing my goals. So every day I write down about 15 to 20 things. I'm saying, I want to achieve this. I want to achieve this. And after 3 months, I go back and then look at those lists. And I look at this on the day. I say, wow, I've already achieved those things during that period. And it's like, oh, yeah, its possibilities are there. The possibilities are there for you to achieve it. Again, you know, we are talking here. We are in a completely different vibration. How we lift people who are in a completely low vibration where they are finding it difficult. The first step, what I suggest, would be just to come out, go into the nature, go and talk to the right like-minded people who can help you, who want to pull you out. There is a very good Sufi tale over here. One guy was drowning, in the lake, and a lot of people was saying to him, hold my hand, hold my hand, hold my hand to take him out from the lake. People were just shouting. And the Sufi was passing by, and he near to this guy and said, take my hand. Hold my hand, take my hand. So the guy takes his hand and he takes him out from the lake and he says, you have to give people to take your hand instead of telling that, hold my hand, hold my hand. People, the communication, as you said, the word we use, the way we communicate with people have to be right, bandwidth in the right sentence, how you call upon. You know, if I was to call you and says, Kevin, how are you doing, mate? Are you free right now? And I will just caught you on your another session or something like that. And say, no, I'm not. Instead, if I would have said to you, hi, Kevin, how are you, mate? Would you be, please tell me when your next availability? You would be more subtle to answer my question. See, the way we talk to people has dynamically changed within personal life, is a relationship, within coaching sector, within the corporate sector, within the people who are leading, a lot of followers are following them or they are being sent managing them, that the communication is so dead at the moment. The way they ask questions is like threatening questions they're asking to their employees. So what's your view on that?
My view is talking positive, not talking negative. There's a great book by, it's actually a friend of mine called Michael Heppel. I think sold 500,000 copies, called Flip It, which is a fantastic little book. And Michael, we've been talking very similar, the fact that we don't use big words and jargon. You know, it does what it says on the tin, and he just flips everything around. And that's one of the best books I've ever read. You know, I'm privileged now that I'm writing my own book, and Michael's coaching me on how to write my own book. And it's just what it's about. And one of the things I found that's interesting, if you look at the youth of today, they've started to use negative words of positives. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. They'll say things like wicked, or was it dank, they're calling. That's sick. You know, that's bad. And actually what they're saying is all these words mean positive things, where to me growing up, all them words were like not nice words, you know. So already I think people subconsciously or unsubconsciously are changing the patterns by following other people. You know, when they say that something is sick, you know, that means totally different to me of what the youth of today is saying. It's wicked, it's fun, you know, and all the rest of it. So changing your words, you know, don't say can't, say can. Don't say don't, say do. You know, all these little things. Don't say won't, say will. There's so many words that we could just think about what we say. And one of the other key things is that the three R's, I think they always say good things come in threes, don't they? The three R's, which is repetition, repetition, and repetition. Yeah. The more we do it, the more our mindset changes, that we do start to think more positive and we don't think in the negative ways. You know, having a morning routine. It's one of those things. When you get into it, I know if I forget to do my morning routine, I don't meditate, I don't journal, I don't have my day is not as productive with the days I don't do that. It's a real strange sort of thing to get in. You talk about the vibrations and that. I'm quite into that in a sense, with some of the way I meditate and some of the affirmations I use to build myself and get myself up. I always thought it was a load of rubbish, you know. We've all read the Secret, we'll see the film, we've done the Law of Attraction, and yet but it only works. And I'm going to get scathed by a lot of people when I say that the Law of Attraction, only works if you take action.
True.
But what it does do is you vibrate the right way and it will speed things up for you. You can trust me on that. Things do happen to you.
Absolutely.
But it's like buying a ticket. If you don't buy a ticket, you're not going to win the lottery.
That's true. Okay,
if you take action, you buy a ticket and you vibrate correctly, there's a far better chance that something good's going to happen.
True, so, very true. I think positive, there are a lot of I think there are a lot of things. Is the vibration, is the how you see things differently, and how you convey the message, is how what language you're using. You know, I'll say I'm a language expert. Okay, you are a language expert. So what's your expertise? How you use each word? Yeah, my background is IT, and I've started talking in jargon. You will say, Sam, what you're talking about, mate, I haven't got a clue. Correct. So when I do my training in IT, when I go to that level of people to understand that I'm talking in a completely language which is understandable language, which is say I'm not using any jargons. I'm not saying that, oh, you have to do this in this peripheral, or you need to do this server, or you need to do this LAN, or you do this XYZ thing. And people says, Sam, what are you talking about? I haven't got a clue. So again, when you're talking about those positive words or positive words in terms of when we are saying that, oh, that task is impossible. You know, I said to a lot of people, when you say impossible, if you break that word, impossible, it says I'm possible. It's completely the view or is the perception you look at it. And then says, oh, I nowhere I would be able to do that. I says, can't you just see that what you are saying? Instead of you saying now here, I would be able to do it. And it's going to happen. It's the moment, present in the moment, the mindfulness. The mindfulness is about being present in the moment of your blessings and everything is going to happen. We say, okay, as you say, you have a routine. Your routine is to do mindfulness. You have a routine to do your journal and everything in the morning. Again, you are very congruent when you are sitting in that, correct? If you are sitting in the mindfulness and if you are thinking about, okay, next I want to do my journal, then I have to go for a walk, then I want to come home. So you are not in mindfulness. You are already preparing something. You are not in present in that moment. So it does not make any sense whether when you are in mindfulness and if you are thinking outside of your realm of calmness, you are thinking what else needs to be done. It means you are not present in that moment. So mindfulness is the journey of being present in the moment. Mindfulness is not only about sitting for 10 minutes. It's about everything you do should be mindful. Yeah, the way you say things to people is to be mindful. How you convey the message is to be mindful. So that's
be mindful, and it's like being grateful, passing gratitude on. And this goes back to the third A, which is appreciate. You know, appreciate what you have got, not what you haven't got.
Yes.
Again, it's using the have and haven't. It's all about using. I mean, they say affirmations, repeating things open. But I remember when I was at school, if you did something wrong, you did detention, and they made you write out 100 times, I will not speak in class, I will not speak in class. The reason they asked you to do that is because it was an affirmation.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I coach with some people sometimes, and they're struggling with the goals, which is why I use the 2, the 4, the 6, and the 8, because we set them off as small goals and work them through that process so it's easy for them to remember. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I always remember is, I think it was Dave Brailsford that was the British team cycling manager. Mm-hmm. And we'd not won a gold medal, I think, for 110 years or in the Olympics, or we'd not won the Tour de France. And he took over and he changed things by 1% each day. And we ended up, I think, did we get 11 medals? We've got 60 world medals now. And all this really happened just because he went from, let's put heated shorts on people, let's change 1% of the bike seat. I think he rubbed alcohol on the tyres to see if it would make it stick. Just all these things. And all the little 1% we do in life add up.
True.
And 1% all add up. But of course, it's moving in the right direction.
True.
And history goes on that we've won, is it 5 out of 6 years we won the Tour de France after that? Oh, it just happened. People improve by 1% every day.
Yes, every step counts. Every small step counts. You can't just say, okay, the wall of China was built in 2 days. It took every step. The pyramids wasn't built in two days. It took even our world, as God says, it was done in 7 days. Correct. So if you look at the people, if you look at the numbers, if you look at the thing, every step you take is to the next level. And I think what you are going to share with us about your 2, 4, 6 at motivation method, which is, I think, will be the pinnacle of how people should look at how they can create a small addition to their life. Because, again, it's all about taking the first step, taking the first act or to achieve something better. And we are all humans. If we are being angels, we wouldn't be thinking about it because we will be doing everything in telepathy because they don't have a brain. They can present and they can do things. But we are humans. We need support from all of us around us. And we need to stay in that sort of a vibration of happiness or vibration of contentment and vibration. Yeah, we all have uncertainty in our life. But if you stay in that moment of uncertainty, what is going to happen is you will have your so many unconscious mind will bring so many triggers that you will not be sustain yourself. And you says, you know, the last episode will be, I'm so hurtful. I don't want to live in this country. I don't want to live in this life. I just want to take my life and go. Yesterday I was shocked. I was heard this message on Facebook. A lady says, I was ready to go to my gym. I was looking forward to see my coach, but found out that my coach has did a suicide. So we don't know what's going on in people's mind. You know, on the face, we show the facade of being happy, being chirpy, being so content, be jumping and dancing and everything. Well, you must have heard about so many great motivational speakers. They come into a rehabilitation of psychology. And this is what all the facade. We just wanted to show people that everything is fine, hunky-dory, no worries, everything is fine. Back of the journey was they are actually looking forward to killing themselves because they were so lonely. They are very happy in front of people, but back of the life is so loneliness is there for them because nobody have there for them.
It's
ironic, isn't it?
It's ironic. I mean, I use the analogy again of flipping things around all the while now. So I'm single, but at the moment I don't see it as I'm not lonely. You know, if somebody says to me, are you lonely? I say, no, I'm available. You know, it's changing them words to mindset. That's exactly the way that we've got to do it. You know, we've got this thing at the moment called COVID. Yeah, I'm single, but I can't mingle. But I can go online, I can do things. There's things you can do. You've just got to change it and have a laugh and have a joke with people. And it's just the way, you know, I've got out and got myself a dog. You know, I've always wanted a dog. It's been the best thing that's happened to me through COVID. I'm probably one of the most happiest places I've been for a long while. And I can't go out. I can't see my friends. It's weird. Just because I've got a different mindset and just found ways around it. You know, there's got to be ways around it.
There are ways around it, Kevin, because what happened is I was talking to another guest and he said, Sam, I still use Filofax. I'm not still on my... journey of doing calendars on net, even though I'm changing my to owner going onto the calendar. When I used to use my Filofax, I used to have one every day, 1 hour as green, where I set up to meet new people. And that was my everyday challenge, not challenge, everyday's routine. 1 hour, I'm going to meet something new. It's not about business, it's not about I'm going to have a new lead. No, I just want to meet somebody completely stranger. And that's what I was doing it when COVID was not there. But since COVID happened, I was looking at an alternative because even though we can't meet people face to face, but we can meet people on Zoom. Mm-hmm. We can still share our information mm-hmm. to each other. And that's what he done. He says, I found a place called, I found this website called Lunch Club. And you can join, it's free. You can join, and they will see what sort of area you are connected. And they have this algorithm which is created via artificial intelligence, and that will match you to the right people. And they say, oh, by the way, Mr. Harvey, I got Sam Dosa, would be interested to speak to you for an hour. He's available, his times are this. You can meet. This is the connection. This is the small synopsis of the person's story or bio. And you can meet and you can just call upon and just have a Zoom call or a meetup or something like that. And you just have a chat. So there is no business. There is nothing. You're just having a chat with this stranger and says, oh, so where are you from? What do you do? What is your life is all about? And what's your hobbies? And what is this? And what is that? And this is happening as well. And so far, I've met two people, amazing people I met. One a lady from Montreal. Now she's based in London. Another guy is based in Preston, Lancashire. Amazing talk, amazing discussion. And we just exchanged information to each other, joined on. So opportunities are there. Is knocking on your door. And if the door you're not going to open, how are you going to enter? And there are door after doors you are going to be watching, but I want that door to be open. I said, listen, you're looking at that door, but there are about 100 other doors are open for you. Why are you waiting for that door to be open? Why you can't see there are 100 doors open? Because we have fixation in our head, our mind. No, I just want that door to be open. And then when we go and pray, we say, God, give me this, God, give me this, God, give me this. And God doesn't give you this immediately. Everything has a time frame attached to it. If God says, yeah, I can give you everything, then you are not going to be talking to me because you got everything what you asked for.
That's right. So wish for better things, basically. ask for better things. And you never know, do you? If you put some action into it, you get it. Motivation only comes from action.
Yes.
People often say to me, motivate, use the word motivate. How do you motivate people? But I'm not going to motivate people in the sense that, come on, let's get on dance and stuff like that. Although I do things, silly little things like that on Zoom sometimes, or when we could speak on stage. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is that it's getting people to take action. And when they take action, that will motivate them. I went through a situation where I didn't open my mail when I went through my depressive stage. And I didn't open my mail. And I sort of knew what everything was. It was all piling up. When I actually did it after about 4 weeks, so what a sense of relief. I felt great. It motivated me. And I'm like, why didn't I do it? Why couldn't I sit here and look at it every day, look at my mail just building up? It was just absolutely ridiculous. It's like the glass half full, half empty. I do this on the stage. I mean, people probably can't see it. I've got a glass with a bit of water in it. And I get somebody up on the stage and I get them to hold out the glass in their hand and I ask people, what are they seeing? And people say, a glass half full, it's half empty. Is your glass half full? I said, no. And I let the person stand there for 5 minutes till their arm starts to hurt. Yeah? And the point I'm trying to make is, I said, the longer you leave it, the more pain. It's the pain rather than the pleasure is actually in drinking the water so you can fill it up again.
Yeah, very true.
Which is what you do, pain versus pleasure. People would rather have pain than pleasure.
Yeah.
It's a very, very sort of strange thing. We all do it.
Yes.
And it's getting out of them bad habits. Yeah, it's changing your habits. So 2, 4, 6, 8 really was my way of remembering my to-do lists, my way of remembering what I should be doing. And then I use that with people in goals. So like a weightlifter or a high jumper, they don't start with the bar at the highest or the heaviest weight on it. That would just be mad. Everybody starts off with something they can achieve. And when they start off with something you can achieve, you do feel better because you've taken that first step in action. So I work the 2, 4, 6, 8 into, it could be for about £1 you want to lose or kilos. It could be over how many weeks. It's easy to remember. Every day you can remember what your to-do list, what your stretch goals are and what your main goals are. So many people I've coached over the years have said, I've done to-do lists, I've set goals, and I don't finish them. I get so far that it doesn't happen. And a lot of that reason is, A, because they set the goals a little bit too high. They set that bar too high. They put too much weight on to start with. They go out running and they try to run a mile and then they can't walk for the next 4 days. It's just all about how we work that to suit the individual. And one of the things I'm really keen of when I'm coaching people is we don't necessarily have a to-do list. Mm-hmm. We have a not to-do list. And I get people to write down every day things they're not going to do. So it's going to check. So we're changing the habits. So let's say they drink X amount every night because it's COVID and they're opening the fridge and having a couple of tins and all the rest of it. On that day, the not to do list will be not to have that drink on that night. Or to, instead of having the 4 cans, let's just have the 2 cans. That's the 2, that's the 4 coming into play. Easy things to remember. I sort of move it around wherever it needs to go, what it needs to be there for. It's just a great way. And again, when I talk at, and I've just recently done for 50 young coaches or coaches that's just qualified on speaking with confidence and how to speak, I've just done a webinar to help these people going along. And some of the top tips on that are memory techniques, because people, they worry about speaking in public and they worry because they can't remember what they're going to say. So there's lots of different techniques out there. I use 2, 4, 6, 8 to remind me of what comes next and in what order to speak, because I can always remember 2, 4, 6, 8 motivate. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, it just sticks in my head, sticks in lots of other places, probably because I'm looking at it all the while, obviously, on the backdrop and everything.
So and give us a
it's a memory system, mm-hmm. but it's also there for your goals as well. So you can use it for your goals, you can use it for your accountability, which is so vital. I know so many coaches that will coach people one session and they don't set accountability to get the client to come back to them. And then they can't understand why the client says, well, it didn't work. Well, it didn't work because it probably didn't make them accountable for the goals. This is what you have to do. Say I would have won the lottery next year and not buying a ticket. You know, I've got to take them by the hand and go and buy a ticket with them. It is quite simple. It's small steps. And just changing by 1%. But something you can remember, writing a list of 15 things to do out every day didn't work for me. It just didn't work for me. I just couldn't do it. To stop, I'm an ex-smoker. I went through a heavy stage of drinking when I went through my depression because my support system was going down my local pub every night. Mm-hmm. And to change all that, I've had to do it in small steps. I've had to change it. I've lost weight. I don't know where I am now, but I'm about just over two stone lighter than I was 4 years ago.
Wow.
So I've done it in a very slow way. If I'd have started to do it in a quick way, I wouldn't have enjoyed the journey. I can still have treats. I can still do things. And I use that to help people now.
Amazing.
And I find it's slower burn, but it stays there because you're remembering the reason why the pain is worth it for the pleasure of being able to do it. And that's overcoming the pain is the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing.
Very true.
And 2, 4, 6, 8, literally, it's, well, hopefully everybody will remember it after today, 2, 4, 6, 8. And you can make your own version up of the two things you're going to do, the four things, the six things, or the eight things in the week. What it is you're going to do, it could be minutes. I'm going to do this for 2 minutes a day. I'm going to do 2 hours a week of, like you did, of meeting new people. So that's your two for the week. We can build it into whatever your goals are. We make it fit, basically. So it's so easy for you to remember. There's a lot more, obviously, to it when I coach people.
Yes.
That hopefully gives you an insight of what's just changed my life. Because all the books I was reading on self-development, as we all know, become shelf development.
You
get halfway through them and you go to yourself, oh, why can't they just sum it all up in the last chapter or the first chapter? You know, why do I need to read 350 pages for it to tell me the basic things that we need to do? Right. 2, 4, 6 is my 2, 4, 6, 8 motivate is my version of all them books. So everybody, you don't need to go out and buy all the books. You just need to give me a bell and we'll work on it. And I'll just save you all that money, sat on your shelves, gathering dust.
Absolutely. I think it's understanding. A lot of people are afraid. A lot of people are afraid of asking the question. A lot of people are afraid because a lot of people are, even though they know they need a coach, they know they have to have somebody to help them to grow themselves to the next level. But still, they are unsettled with their own self. There is also, fear of asking how other people will judge them, how other people will look at it. Instead of taking that leap of faith and ask that questions, that's what I was been teaching my children as well. If you don't ask, you don't get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you are going for prayers, and if you are sitting there, and if you are not asking your Savior or your Lord, how he is going to earn? He can't just. He is present everywhere, but he still wants somebody to say, Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Whether he gives to you or not, this is entirely his choice. But we have to ask. If you come to me and say, Sam, you know, I can understand this is what has been happening. And would you be able to help me? If I'm going to be qualified in that area, I would say, yes, I will be able to help you. This is the steps to follow through. But if I'm not the qualified, I will say, okay, I will put you to the right person where you can go and get some help. But again, the first question is, are you ready to change? Are you ready to take that next step? Everything starts with the first step, and it's not going to happen if you're not going to start the first step. As you said, you can't just go into the gym and first day you haven't walked or haven't walked or run for almost 6 to 8 months, and you just jump on the treadmill and did a 1 hour treadmill, and then up next 4 days you are sitting at home and my legs are hurting, I can't actually move, my entire body is hurting. And my wife started a gym this Sunday, which went, and I said, start slowly. Don't jump into saying, oh yeah, I'm there, I'm going to start. And then you come home and it says, Sam, I can't move now.
That's what people do. They go for the pain. And the pleasure part of it is actually feeling good the next day and doing the next part of the challenge. You know, moving on, moving from the 2 to the 4 to the 6 and to the 8. You know, that's the journey.
Yeah.
And that journey, doesn't matter how long that journey takes, just enjoy the journey and enjoy the process. But of course, you're adding just small little percentages every day. You know, you're actually moving a step forward all the while, just making it, changing all your habits, really. True. Which is why I go back to having, you know, when you write your to-do list out tomorrow, I want you to write out the side a not to-do list. Yeah.
True. Very and true.
But trust me, it's one of the most simplest things you can do. And the first thing it does is get you thinking, mm-hmm. You know, and it's like you said about being ready to move on. Mm-hmm. That's where the accept, admit, and appreciate other people and yourself comes in.
Yeah.
Only when you've done that little exercise do I honestly believe that you can say, I can move forward. Mm-hmm. And be positive about it. You know, it's not just admitting what's gone on in the past, admit what you were good at. Do a life transformation. I do this sometimes with people. Mm-hmm. And I break down, depending on how old they are, into 5 years, the age of 0 to 5, the age of 5 to 10, 10 to 15, etc., up to where they are now. Mm-hmm. And I say, try and think of positive things or mark out a 10 where you felt in your life you were in them stages and what was good in there. And from that, we work out when you were at your peak. Yeah. Why you was at your peak. Yeah, why was it your peak in your 20s?
Yeah.
Oh, I was out there, I could drive, I could do this, I could just learn to do this. Job was going well, blah, blah, blah. Then what happened when you're 35? I got divorced and I wasn't doing it. And we work out where the good things are from where the bad things are. And then we work out how you've overcome that. Because you've admitted that this gone. It is your life. It is past. You know, we've all been there.
Yeah.
You know, I've been there many times. Very much highs, very much lows. And I just think of the highs now and what I did and how that made me feel.
Yeah.
Because that's how I want to feel now.
True. And I use this statement where I said, somebody says, okay, I say, I've been there. I've done it. I've been there. I've done it. I got the T-shirt. And
yep.
When I used to use this phrase with my present wife, and she says, so how many T-shirts you got? And I say, I got loads. I got loads.
Yeah. We've all got it.
Yeah, we all got it. And that's which actually makes you who you are and what is your purpose. They define your purpose as well. A lot of things people ask. So what is your purpose? And we talk about so much in detail. Some people says, I haven't got a clue, mate. Mm-hmm. What my purpose is. I'm just doing a job. I can be a great father. That might be my purpose. I could be a granddad. That might be my purpose. Or I might be the right boss for my employees. That might be my purpose. Or a right husband to my wife. That might be my purpose. So purpose can be anything. If you have been given a life, if you have been given this journey to share, to appreciate, to acknowledge what you have been given, you fulfill a lot of things in your journey going forward in life. And that's where things comes in to appreciate, as you said, you know, admit, accept, and appreciate things. And that's where you started to write down your gratitude that, wow, I woke up next morning. I'm still alive. I can breathe. I can move my hands. I can move my legs. I can swallow some water. I can see things, the beauty. And those are the gratitudes one has to take on and to start thinking, if I'm alive, that's the biggest present of the day. for me.
Yeah, I mean, in my journal in the morning, I write down three things I'm grateful for. And I had a client who said they were struggling sometimes because all they was writing down every morning was the weather. They'd look out the window and it was raining, it was miserable. So they thought, I can't write, I'm grateful for the weather today. And I said, we need to change this. You know, it's not about the bad weather. It's about having bad gear. If you've got the right gear on, there's nothing better than walking in the rain. Trust me, I've done it many times and I love it. So it's all about, again, changing it around what to do. So I set this person a challenge and I said, what's the first thing you do in the morning? And they said, I make a cup of tea, get up and I make a cup of tea. So I asked them to write down 50 things they were grateful for that cup of tea. And they came back with 50, right from the person that picked the tea leaves to the person that in the supermarket, that it's journey, the water, the blanket of the kettle, the electric to boil the kettle. And they eventually, when they start thinking about all these, there was 50 things they were grateful for just to make that cup of tea. And all of a sudden, they got it. You know, the smile on the face. And every day, the things that I was asking them for every day, what you're grateful for today, were totally different things. You know, not my family, my kids, my roof over my head. You know, go into more detail, break it down to all the things that have brought you that house. Yeah, that brought you your children. Break it all down, be grateful for these smaller things. And it, you know, the person had a better outlook. But really, with the coaching of the person as well, because it just works.
Yeah, absolutely. But we take it for granted. We take it for granted. Oh, yeah, like I switch on. Light is there. Electricity is there. I open the water tap, a water is there. I don't have to worry about the hot water because hot water comes in. I don't worry about X, Y, Z things. But if you think of people who live in the third world country who are parched for water, they have to travel 2, 3, 4 miles to get the water. And the water is still not very, for us, we do not drink that water because that water is coming from the sewage or somewhere else, but they're still drinking that water because they want to be alive. And that's where we forget about a lot of bounties being bestowed upon us. And that's where we go into, everything has been given to us. We have been fed in the silver spoon, with the silver spoon.
It is a fact. And my whole outlook has changed because of it. I've always been a sort of happy-go-lucky, up there sort of guy. But you touched on this earlier. My support system when I was going through my depression was actually going to my local pub on a tea time. And sometimes I didn't speak to anybody all day long. But I'd always got that big grin on my face and everything, you know, have a laugh and a joke with everybody. But I probably didn't know this much of my support system, that what I was doing all day long was sometimes staying in bed and watching TV and being feeling really depressed at that time. And then when I sort of started to do more of what I'm doing now and I told them about it, they sort of laughed at me a little bit. They know I'd always spoken at the golf club events and done this type of thing, but not really going into the level of coaching I'm doing now and the type of thing I'm doing now. So I got the opportunity to speak last May at Leeds Town Hall. I live in Leeds with another 10 people. And I was the last speaker that was on and only had a 25 minute slot. I bought 10 tickets and invited all my friends to go down there. And they all ended up sitting on the front row thinking that they were going to actually take the mickey out of me, you know, and all the rest of it. They listened to all the other speakers. And I went on last, it was 21st of May, actually, last year, 2019. Mm-hmm. Remember the date. And I started off and my opening line was, having a breakdown could be one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I could see them all looking at me thinking, oh, where's he going with this? You know, that's not what they're expecting. And I talked about my 3 A's. I talked about them as being my support system, but how they didn't probably realize how bad I really was and the fact that where I wanted to take my own life and everything else. And all of a sudden, I had a massive relief because I'd actually told these people that I'd known for years, but probably didn't know. They knew I wasn't right, but I don't think they realized how desperate I was. And opening up and talking about it was just an unbelievable relief to me. And now they totally react to me differently about what I do when I help people. And even the ones who take the mickey have got their own little issues, have privately come to see me to say, can you help me with this? How did you do this? How did you do that?
Yes.
You know, so even the people you think haven't got problems.
Oh, yeah.
The could still be there. It could still be just all you're seeing sometimes is the tip of the iceberg.
Correct.
You know, we talk about swans and ducks and they're so graceful on top of the water, but underneath the legs are going like mad. You know, they're going like mad, but all you see is just like nice and gracefully just floating across the water. Well, a lot of people are like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we need to add back to it.
Absolutely.
Admit, absolutely. Accept, you know, and start appreciating yourself and other people.
I think the time when we share the vulnerability, people started to look at us and says, if the person can do it, I can do it as well, because I'm suffering so much, I can't. And you have encountered so many times where people just sitting next to you and they just tell you everything about their entire life. And you just listen and you just say not a single word and they just walk away after that. Because they just want somebody to listen. Because people say, oh yeah, I'm listening. Oh, no, I'm listening. But when are you really listening? Listening is a skill. Listening is an art. And if you don't know the art of listening, then you're not listening. You are hearing things.
Mm.
When you're sitting with your spouse or when you're sitting with your mom or dad or your siblings or your children, if you're not present in that moment, then you are just hearing. If your mother is saying something to you and say, yeah, I'm listening, but you're not listening, because she must be saying to you that, listen, my time is coming. I need to spend some more time with you. But you are so clueded in your own life, you can't hear her. Same with your dad or with your brother or your wife. When your wife, you both work. We are both working, for example. And if your wife comes home and if she's talking to you about her job, as a man, we are fixers. We want to fix things for people. That's this part of our DNA, part in DNA. And then when she comes and says talk to you about something and you start fixing the problems for her. But she wants somebody just to listen.
Yeah, but there's no magic wand as a coach. You know, if somebody wants to come along and say, can you fix me? You can only fix them if they want to be fixed. Yeah, I mean, I would say to people, don't waste your money unless you want to achieve at the end of this. If you want to go through the pain to get the pleasure out of it, then work with me. I'm not going to work with somebody that's not going to be, if they want to be accountable, I'll make them accountable. If they're not going to do the work, they're not going to take action, they're wasting their money. You know, I'd rather be honest with someone. I wouldn't take the money.
Same with me.
They've got to take the action. You know, if I'm putting my time in, yeah, I still have my days. I still have my down days. Still have, you know, I get myself up quicker now. I think that's the key. You know, things just, you know, to friends, shit still happens in life, doesn't
it? Part of life. There is no such thing. Life, what I heard from this amazing person, he says, struggle is a meaning of life. Struggle is a meaning of life. Success and failure is part of it.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as you're going to have a very smooth day one day and the next day will be smoother. But you will reach to that level where you find into this vibration where things comes to you. Anything comes to you, you look at it and says, oh, thank you. I really appreciate it for me to receive this. And sometimes you look at it and you say, what the heck, why I am being given this? Because you are not in the right vibration. Yeah, something wrong happens. You're going to work. Nowadays, you're working from home. But when you're going to work and you left your briefcase at office or home and you're rushing. And then you're constantly thinking, I left my briefcase. How am I going to do my job in the workplace? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So your mind is boggling and you end up into a wrong train. You end up in the wrong station. Yeah. And then you're already late for your workplace. You reach by 9 o'clock. You already reached about 11 o'clock and your boss is looking at you. Excuse me? What's this? Oh, I had a bad day. But again, as you said, you know, everything has to start with the small things. And as your program, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, I think is a amazing step towards achieving small goals with your own way. You don't have to look at other, what they are, other are achieving, they are in a completely different vibration, different energy, different wavelength. You are completely different. You can't compare yourself with others, what they are achieving. Yeah.
So That's what people do. People worry too much what other people think.
Absolutely.
You know, paranoia. You know, if you look the word paranoia up in the English dictionary, when you open it, it should say, what do you want to know for? That's what it should say at the end of it. Why do you want to know? You know.
We are more interested in knowing what other person has failed or achieved. Yeah. That's what you want to do. If somebody is there is this another story we use in Pakistan. Everybody is now, we are in this heaven or hell somewhere, and there is a lot of big holes. And in this hole, there are a lot of people been trying to come out from that hole, but there are a lot of big devils are sitting there and pushing with the spike. You can't come out. But there's one hole, there is nobody. And that's the hole for Pakistanis. If the Pakistani is trying to leave the hole, the other Pakistani will pull him down and say, you can't go up. Let me go up. So they are pulling them down. So I think we are looking at it. When you have a journey of achieving something great result, people started to look at it. Oh, this guy. Oh, no. This guy is this. This guy is that. And they're because they can't achieve themselves.
Oh.
But they are threatened for your achievement. Yeah, they are threatened with your success because they can't achieve those sort of things in their life.
And it is the journey, Sam. The journey is the most important part. You know, it's not the end game. It's not losing the weight or running the marathon in under 3 hours or whatever that is your goal. Achieving that is a fantastic point. But just think of the journey, what you've done to achieve being on that journey, you know, as you're going forward. You've installed new habits into your life, but positive, yeah?
Yeah.
Change things for the good, even if you just do one thing.
True.
Just one little thing. You can get so much out of it, like opening your mail.
Yeah.
You know, I talked about opening that mail. One of them, I actually got a check. I actually had a check through, which was for a couple of £1,000, which I wasn't expecting because it was my father died 20 years ago, my mother died 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and the pension fund had cocked up for my father's pension. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what this letter was, and I didn't open it for 4 weeks. When I opened it, I think it was just short of £3,000.
Wow.
Which, because it had been through probate and everything else, and I wasn't even aware of it. And that check was now, obviously, that money became mine, and I didn't even expect it or know about it. And it had sat there, and I was skint at the time. Yeah, I wasn't working, just couldn't decide what I wanted to do next. And it sat there for weeks on my desk in the envelope.
See, the right time has come because they was waiting for you to wait for 4 weeks.
Yep.
And then you have a surprise sitting for you. You were not ready for that surprise to happen. If that surprise happened 4 weeks ago, you would have ended up in the pub and been spending all your money. But he says, okay, let him go through with this journey. Once he's going to be ready, he will have a surprise and he will say, appreciate every penny he will spend. And says, wow. See, the universe works so delicately. And it also works in favor of people. But if they have patience and if they have endurance to achieve those patience in their life, they will receive those bounties being given to them.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you, Kevin, for sharing great wisdom. And please tell my audience how they connect with you.
Okay, there's a couple of ways. My website, which is kevinharvey.co.uk. You can mail me at kevin@kevinharvey.co.uk. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on my Facebook page. And if you want to work to me, I'm running a little workshop in January, which is going to help people stick to their New Year's resolutions. And if you mention Sam's name, I'm sure we can stick you in the group somewhere and work along with you. And that's basically where you can get hold of me. So 2468 Motivate. And as I start off by saying in football, you know, the last 10 minutes of the game are ticking by back for me, but I'm going to score some more goals.
Absolutely.
Before that final whistle.
Absolutely beautiful.
There you go.
Thank you very much, Kevin, for being my guest.
really
for
enjoyed
my podcast, Chai with Sam Dosa. And people who are listening to this, please, please, please get in touch with Kevin. He's an amazing person, amazing coach, amazing soul. It's one step, the first step to get in touch and go through with his program. Because if you are not going to take, if you are not going to ask, you are not going to be achieve what you want to achieve. And as you said, accept, admit, accept, appreciate, triple A. And God bless. And wherever you are, thank you very much for watching us or listening to us. Have a fantastic rest of the day. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.